man.
If I do that, then we have to postpone the rest of it for 3 weeks.
We'll remember. We have good memories.
I'm glad yours is better than mine.
That was like messy.
God can. Trust Him. Trust Him. In times of weakness, trust Him. When you feel like you can't go on, trust Him. If He sent Jesus to die for you, do you not think that He'll take care of you through these troubles? Now, your turn's going to come to remind me, okay? So I stand here, and I'm telling you the truth. That doesn't mean that I have it figured out, okay? So I'm charged with the responsibility of teaching what it says. I'm not required to be perfect and have it all together before I teach it. I say that to say I understand how hard it can be. And so I really feel that anger is a result I don't trust God. Fear is because my faith is weak. And struggling and wrangling with a lot of stuff in life is because I have a lack of faith. Don't beat yourself up, but work at being better. That's the key. God can. God not only can, but God is. And that simply means that God is everywhere, all the time. At 4,500 feet, God is still there. At the depths of the sea, God is still there. When you're on vacation, God is still there. When you are, you name it, at work, God is there. When you are playing, God is there. We need to recognize the presence of God. One reason we need to recognize the presence of God is that you can't hide. I'm glad I can't hide because that means He's always there to protect me, right? If I could hide from God, I could find situations where I would not be able to have His presence. Now, by the same token, I can't sneak around behind His back. You kids might be able to do something your parents won't see. But God's still there. Does that make sense? God sees. God knows. And God is present. And so, God is aware of me, my thoughts, my feelings, and He sees my actions. At the same time, God is aware of the people that you pass on the street, their thoughts, their feelings, and their actions. And at the same time, the people in China and everyone else, all at the same time. I think that's an important thing for us to recognize. It can give us hope. But it also can scare us half to death when we realize that we can't sneak around behind God's back and do things that we shouldn't do. Because God is there and God sees. And so there's a balance of His ever presence or His always or everywhere presence. And so that's something that is a good thing. But because it'll help us to remain in a proper way. And so anyway, God is everywhere. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. And you know, and I've struggled with this passage and looked at it a lot over the years. And it just shows, I think, the enormity of God's presence. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." where is the house that you will build to me, and where is the place of my rest? Now, as we look at this passage, we can kind of see the enormity of God. Heaven's His throne, and the earth is His footstool. You know, God was kind of explained to me one time that kind of put Him in perspective, and the teacher reached down and he got some dust off the floor, and he said, "Now rub that between your fingers." And he said, "That's the universe to God." We need to recognize how small we are in His presence. And so, in essence, He's trying to show the enormity of God and the greatness of God. And so God is everywhere and at all times. And so with heaven as His throne, as earth as His footstool, we can certainly see the greatness of God. Go back to your home and we think about our easy chair. We think about sticking the footrest up and laying back and our feet come up. Well, for God, heaven is His easy chair and the earth is the footrest that comes up. He's present everywhere. And so we really need to recognize this greatness about God, because I believe it will help us to have, number one, a great faith in Him, but a determination to live for Him and recognize the responsibilities that we have in that determination. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. And this goes back to the recognition of what God sees and knows. In this passage it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now we mentioned a little while about the fact about God's omnipresence. He is everywhere. And you can't go somewhere, you can't go to out of town and do things that are wrong and sinful and think that God does not see. Because you see, God is everywhere and He's in every place. He sees both the good and the bad. Now, you know, it's kind of nice. Dorothy and I flew to Wayne in Nebraska yesterday, and here we were, nobody knew us. That would be an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to follow God. Because you see, we might not have known anybody there. We know a few of them now. Got to visit with a few people. But you know what? God was there whether or not you were there to watch me or not. It is kind of nice because we have one another here in town. You know, and we stop to think about, you know, we're all tempted, okay? And we think about being nasty to the register, the lady at the register, because she miscounted change or said something cross. But then we think, somebody can see me. We're thinking, okay, well maybe I'll be seen, but it doesn't really matter. Because God is in every place and He beholds the evil and the good. Now, what also is nice, when we went out of town, we tried to be nice to the people that we met. Because not only does God see the evil, but you can't hide the good from Him either. Isn't that kind of nice?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about losing my reward. I don't have to worry about being somewhere where I can live the Christian life and nobody knows me and God doesn't recognize me. Because I can know that God is there and He will bless me for my efforts if I live for Him in that situation. We need to live in the situation everywhere where God is at, because God is everywhere. And so it really doesn't matter where we're at, it doesn't matter what's going on, God is going to see every single thing. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24, we recognize, and God just spells it out here. He said, there ain't no hiding. Jeremiah 23 and verse 24, it says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Back to that, heaven is His throne and earth is His footstool. Notice that, try as we may, we can't hide. You know, remember the phrase, the saying that went, "You can run, but you can't hide." It's kind of like I don't know, recently I heard about somebody that was running from the law. Was that the guy here in town that he robbed the bank or something? And so it was just a matter of time. They caught him there downtown or somewhere just a few days later. Well, you can run, but you can't hide. The thing is, God knew who it was all the time. Okay? And so I can't imagine to have to think about the idea of running and hiding. You ever thought about that? Have to cover your tracks. Have to be looking over your shoulder. It's kind of nice because if we just do what God says, we don't have to be watching over our shoulder because God's there watching for us. Isn't that nice? And that's the way we need to live our life, because there's no hiding. You're going to get caught. And the heart of man is conditioned or is encouraged to do evil because punishment doesn't come quick. And I forget where that's at. I think it's in Ecclesiastes. And God says that, you know, we kind of get complacent. And so we do something wrong and the lightning bolt doesn't strike. And we look over his shoulder and nobody we know saw. And so here we go scot-free. Before long, we go down the road a little further, and guess what? I got by with it last time. So what happens today? Well, I got by with it, so I'll do it again. And so that's where we need to be very careful. See, the heart of man is encouraged to do evil when we get by with bad things. God is still there. It doesn't matter. The thing is, you know the saying, you got to pay the piper. Since God sees and knows all evil and good and He's everywhere, there's going to be a debt to pay. Now you can live for the Lord and have the blood of Jesus Christ play for those debts, and then you can pick up and go on with a different life, or you can expect to pay. And so we need to be cautious. We need to be aware that there is no way that we're going to be able to hide from God. And it depends on how you look at that. I look at it as a comforting thing. For a couple reasons. One that we mentioned. And that is that I can't hide from God and He's there to protect me. And also, since I can't hide from God, I'm going to try to not do anything that I shouldn't do, and that I don't have the consequences of my mind of the punishment of the guilt of sin. You know, we can look back on the sins that we've committed. And there's the guilt. And I encourage young people often, you listening? Do the right thing. You hear me? Because be sure your sins will find you out. And even if they don't, you're the one that's going to have to suffer the consequences. Because you're going to have the guilty emotion that you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. Listen, young people, please be very cautious and stay away from sin. But then when we get a little older, we can still sin, can't we? I can see the facetiousness in that nod. We get a little older and it's still easy to sin. And the problem is, we still have the consequences, don't we?
Still do. Still sin. Everybody sins every day.
Yep. But we need to do our best to stay away from it. Let's work at changing our lives, because God is there. God will see. And then I don't want the consequences of those sins. And so let's work at being what God says. Now, back on that good positive side, and that is the fact that since we cannot hide from God, we can rest assured that He is there to help us. So Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. David writes, he says, "Where shall I go from Thy Spirit, or where shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in Hades, behold, You're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me." You know, the right hand, that signifies strength. And so it doesn't matter where we are at. We can rest assured that we have the power of God to help us and work in our lives. It doesn't matter. You know, I think of that little servant girl that was taken as a slave by Naaman. Stolen away from her family. Taken to a land that she did not know. Forced to wait on somebody and be a slave, probably for the rest of her life. And even there in that strange land, in those difficult situations, she remembered her God.
Amen.
He was still there. He was still helping her and guiding her and directing her. Joseph was in that same situation. He was sold by his own family. He was sold as a slave and made to work. He was put into prison. He didn't have his own freedom, but he remembered God the whole time, and God blessed him. God's power took him out of the prison and elevated him to the second in command in the nation. And you think God's not there. God is there. God can help. And God can use the discouraging things. Now keep in mind that Joseph was in that difficult situation for numerous years. How long will you put up with problems and continue to live for God? How long can things go wrong in your life and you're still going to stand up and trust in God and do what He says? A lot of people weaken at the first couple minutes. Some people may hold for a couple days. Some people might hold for a couple months. But sometimes they give up. It doesn't matter how long it takes. You need to remember that God is there. You need to go forward. You need to give it all you got. And you need to stand firm for God. That's what Joseph did, and God took care of him. That's what you and I need to do, and God will take care of us. He's everywhere, and He beholds everything. And so you can count on Him to help you through the difficult things. You know, when men went to the moon, I remember watching that. I was whatever age I was. I don't remember. I was 8, so was it in 68? Thank you. I watched that on TV. And we looked at those pictures and we thought, wow. But God was there. Do you remember when the space shuttle went up and it blew? Way up there in the sky, God was there. Remember when the Twin Towers was destroyed? God was there. Guys, there's a lot we need to keep in mind. It doesn't matter what comes in your life. You need to stand firm and be counted. Counted for God. And the way you're counted for God is you obey Him and you stick with Him. And you don't do it your way. You do it God's way. And you find that out in the New Testament. God is. He is everywhere. Be thankful and not ashamed because your deeds are evil. And that's what we need to keep in mind. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, so many people were struggling, strained to find God. I really believe, and that we live in a wonderful time. And you say, well, how can you say that when you look around and see the ugliness of sin and the degrading lifestyles that people live? I say that because sin is a terrible ball and chain on people's lives. It drags them down. It creates problems and misery and pain and suffering. And so in this time that we live, I believe that it's a great time to be alive because it's an opportunity, because I believe there's people that's desperately wanting something. They want something better. Now, you and I know what that is. That's God. And that's changing their life to live for Him. And so they're struggling and striving to find it. They look in drugs. They look in alcohol. They look in ungodly sexual relationships. They look in stealing. They look in all kinds of areas. And they're looking for that greatness to life. And they'll never find it there. But you and I have what they are looking for. And it's God. Now, Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, it says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. I believe that these are some of the greatest times. I believe that the opportunities to teach the lost are there. I believe that it is a great day to be alive. I feel like the shoe salesman that gets off the boat in Africa, nobody's got shoes, and he says, "This is amazing. This is the place to be. Nobody's got shoes." People don't have the gospel. There's a famine in the land. A famine of hearing the words of God. It's a great opportunity. God is here. He's not far from all of these people. But He needs you and I to carry the message, guys. We need to take that serious. That is a great responsibility. And we need to do our best to carry it to everybody that we meet in a very kind and a patient and a cautious way, a wise way. But we've got to carry that message. I wouldn't want to stand before Jesus on the judgment day and be concerned about the fact that I didn't try to take people with me. I would hate to be ashamed of bearing my talents. I would hate to also be ashamed of not using my talents and multiplying them. Amen. It is amazing that every one of us is different. What's so neat about the body here is we've got so many talents. And I really believe that what's so exciting is everybody's striving to use their talents for God. And that every different thing that is done by each one of you is a very valuable aspect in that work. Use your talents and then multiply your talents. Keep growing and developing and doing what you can in your situation. In your life, you are where you are. You are in the situation that you live in, and so take advantage of your space and use it for God. We've got a world out here that's looking for Him. You figure out your place in it. And you influence the space that you have to help them to see God. Help them to see Him in you. And help them to find Him. To find God. God is there. Let's open our eyes. Not only that, but God knows. Omniscience is a word that simply means that God knows everything. You know, I've tried to solve an awful lot of puzzles over my lifetime, and God already knew the answer before I ever even asked the question, before I ever even started finding the first piece of the puzzle. My God knows everything that there is. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 4, we see that He knows my ways and my steps. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 4. It says, "Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. O virgin of Israel, thou shalt be a..." That's Job, not Jeremiah. Where did I get that? You know, one of the things I tell these guys when they get up and they give the wrong song or start on the same verse, I said, just get used to it. I said, you know what? When you're louder than everybody else, everybody knows when you got off on the wrong verse in a song. And when you stand up in front of people, they know every mistake you make. So get used to it. Job chapter 31 and verse 4. It says, "Doth not He see my ways and count my steps?" Job was an amazing man. And I have a hard time fathoming the depths of despair that Job was in. He lost all of his possessions. He lost all of his children. And then he had a wife that just told him to curse God and die. You know, I don't think that... I think sometimes we can be hard on her, but I think that she was in an exasperating state and she was grieving as much as Job was. And she was just communicating. But Job, recognizing and in the midst of this great pain and grief that he was going through, he says, doesn't he see my ways and count my steps? The fact of the matter is that God does. Job had been called into question on his integrity. He had been reprimanded and abused for 30 chapters of this book about how bad of a sinner he actually was. And he said, God knows my ways and God knows my steps. And he knows yours and mine. God knows when we struggle. He knows your emotions and the pain that you're going through and the problems that you're dealing with. He knows your joys. He knows your excitement. He knows everything about you. He knows the ways that you would go before you're going to go on. That doesn't mean we don't have a choice. We do have a choice. But God knows. And so God knows our ways and our steps. And the thing is, and this is where, you know, one of the things that I bounced around through the entire lesson is that there's sweet and there's bitter to this fact that we cannot hide our deeds from God. In Job 34, verses 21 and 22, he says, "For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his goings. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves." God knows everything. There is no knowledge that is not known to Him. There is no knowledge that you can find that God does not already know. God knows the things that we will never know, at least in this life. I think we need to recognize that our goal in life should be to be thankful that we can't hide. Be thankful. Because if we know and recognize that we cannot hide from God, we will have the determination to go forward and do what He said.
Amen.
We won't want to be sneaking around and doing things that we shouldn't do. Guys, all it's going to do is mess your life up. You need to live for Him. You need to put Him first and give Him all that you have, because that is the key and the secret to life. You know, Solomon at the end of Ecclesiastes, he searches all the struggles and the greatness and the pain and the issues of life. He looks at all the challenges, how, you know, some people they struggle and strain and they gain, and they, at the end of this life, they leave it to somebody else that abuses it and throws it away. You know, the saying, the first generation makes it, the second generation wastes it. Solomon was struggled with that. Incidentally, are you reading the chronological... This is one of those things that I've looked at for many years. And I look at Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth. He was well known for his wisdom, his wealth, and his great leadership in the kingdom. The wealth of that nation was beyond comprehension. Silver was counted as stones. rocks in the road. Gold was as plentiful as it could be. The great, massive amount of gold that came into that nation on a yearly basis was just amazing. And then Solomon died. And within about 5 years, his son lost it all. Think about that. That has boggled my mind. I look at what Solomon says, and I wonder if he didn't know the ignorance of his son Rehoboam and where it was all going to lead. God knows. We can't hide our deeds. God's knowledge is limitless. Psalm 147 in verse 5. Psalm 147 in verse 5. The passage says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Infinite. Now, infinite means that there is no end to it. You can't number it. You can't put a space on it. You can't measure it because it goes on and 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 on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And there is no ever and ever because there's no limit. You know, we think of time, and time is one of those things that's going to stop one of these days. Okay? And so his understanding is eternal. It's infinite. There's no limit to it. And so when we put ourselves under the power of God and live for Him, do you see what we're accessing? When we wait on the Lord to solve our problems, do you see the wealth of information and the great direction that we can take because we count on God to work out our problems instead of us? Now we talk about how, yeah, we discuss what's the best direction to take, but then we try to be very careful to wait on the Lord because His understanding is infinite. Those that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we need to trust God because His understanding will bring about the right solutions. But one time, lots of times we like to jump, right? We like to solve it ourselves, and we like to force the conclusion to the matter. And God's not that way. God says, wait. Wait. And be patient. And since His understanding is infinite, don't you think it's a whole lot better to allow Him to work problems out than me and you? We talk about them. We struggle. We try to figure out what God says, but we try to do it with Him in mind and ask the question, what would He have us to do? And many times, if it's not really pretty clear to see, I think we need to wait. Some of the best directions that I see in life is when I sit and wait until things become clear. Because I believe that that's an important part of waiting on the Lord to deal with your problems and your struggles. God's understanding is infinite. I want Him to solve my problems, not me. Because all I do is make problems on top of the problems that I already have. And so we need to follow Him. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. We see a little bit more about God's understanding and the limitness of His knowledge of what is around. It says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight." Manifest is made clear, brought out into the open. It says, "But all things are naked and open unto the eyes with Him with whom we have to do." Now think about the depth of those words. Everything before God is naked and open. And He's the one that we got to deal with. On the day of judgment, it's going to be you and I. Okay? Individually, we will each stand before God. And everything we've done is naked and open before Him. And we're going to have to give an account to Him. I want to be on His side. I want to trust in His great knowledge and His wisdom. He knows. I can't hide. I can't run. Everything is laid bare before God. I want us to be able to take comfort in that and not fear. I don't want to live in fear. Many times in my life I was afraid, and it was never a good feeling. I want God to know. I want to live as though I'm not ashamed for God to know. And though I sin, I want to keep it very, very, very minimal. I think of sin, and I think of when you see me sin, your conscience is emboldened to sin. I can't do that to you. I pray that I never do. I'm human. We need to have that to each other. We need to have that attitude to those that we meet every day. We need to be thinking about the influence that we have on those that are watching our actions. You can't hide from God. But then those that see you do things that are wrong, they're emboldened to do the same thing. And they stand firm and say, "Huh, well, they sin. Why would I have to?" They put God on the back burner, and He's not important enough to them. So why should I have anything to do with God? Oh, guys, God knows. Don't ever put God on the back burner, but allow Him to be firm and determined in your life that you are going to live for Him and give Him all you've got. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, we see a passage here that goes even deeper than our actions. It says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." I want to keep my heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life, says Solomon. I'm a human being, and I've seen everything, I think, and known everything, been exposed to everything, and I know what's out there. I know the temptations, I know the desires, but I also know that God knows my heart. And I've got to watch to make sure that my heart doesn't get me into trouble. I want to go back to the Job passage, and I thought about looking at this when I was there, but I want to go to Job 31. This is a passage that I've thought about often. As a man, I have to certainly watch my thoughts. But this is something that Job made a comment of. And I think it's something that helps us to understand that we've got to watch what's in our heart. In Job chapter 31 and verse 1, Job makes this statement. He says, "I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid?" And what I believe Job is talking about is the temptation to lust. And Job is saying that I've made a covenant in my eyes to not look on a maid to lust after her. To make sure that I do not have the longing glance. That I do not continue to dwell. And I've heard all the talk. And you have too. You know, it's kind of disgusting. You get with the men of the world, and you hear their filthy talk, and you can hear what's on their mind, and I don't want to be around that. Now, I have to be around those that are not Christians. And so there's a challenge. But the fact of the matter is we've got to be careful and guard our heart. When our heart is right, we're going to work to make sure that we direct where our eyes go and what we're dwelling on and desiring. We're human beings. We desire evil things. But we've got to be careful that our heart doesn't get us in trouble. God knows what's in your heart. Now, this is the thing that I like about being a Christian. I have helped to change that. That doesn't mean that I have it together. That doesn't mean that in my heart I struggle with desires that are not right. What it does mean is I've got a God to take that who will take me from where I am and help me to be better if I will work to make changes in my life. And so let's be very careful to trust God and work to change our heart when our heart is not what it should be. Let's get away from the haughty attitude and the haughty spirit where we don't want to give in to God, and let's work at changing it because God knows your heart. And your heart's going to condemn you if you don't be careful to make sure that you force your actions to be what they ought to be. And then your heart will follow in time. I believe that's very important to consider. God knows our heart. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 through 30, we see the depth of God's knowledge, and talks about the very hairs of your head. And I'm just going to look at the last verse here in verse 31. Verse 30. It says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I know a man that had a hair transplant here recently.
All right. Go on. Continue.
And so he started with more than you had.
Thank
just
you.
So you know. And but basically they, one by one, transplant hair to make it look like you have a little bit. And I don't know, but knowing the way medicine is, I would say they probably know how many they transplanted. And believe me, it's a very small amount. there's not very many of them there. I love him. He's a great guy. But he's got more hair than Roy does. In fact, he's got more hair than Tim does. So, and Brian, you're right in that same category. You need to get out in the sun more.
It's a good group.
you're in good company, and I'm catching up with you quick. Before you ever lose any, God's already got them all numbered.
Amen.
He knows that much. Guys, we've got a great God. His desire is for you to have a great life. And to have a great eternal life. But that's up to you. It's your choice. You've got to decide if you're going to give in your life to God and put Him first in all that you got. If there's anybody this afternoon that needs to respond to the invitation, guys, do it now while we stand and sing.